from Councillor Jenkins and Councillor Marmaduke.
Councillor Rose.
Any declaration of interest? No? Unanimous. I'd like to thank those who supported the fish and chip lunch and the quiz night, which will help in support of the Mayor's charity meal. All the events were both enjoyable and successful. Thank you very much for your support. It is a sadness that I have to announce the passing recently of former councillor John Selwyn Hartsall. Please join me for the minute silence in your time. We're on public question time, Mr. Neil. And now we move on to council session. Councillor Kurtz.
Mr. Mayor, good evening, colleagues, good evening. Local government reorganisation is not something that anyone voted for. Not the general public, not even members of this council. Instead, it is something concocted in Westminster for the benefit of Westminster. Enhanced two-tier working has worked well in Staffordshire for many years. But if this is something that we have to have, let us be clear. I don't want Stafford Borough to be the crumbs on the master's table and find that we are forcibly joined with Stoke-on-Trent City Council against our wishes. Having spent an interesting couple of hours rereading the Constitution of Stafford Borough Council, parts 2 and 3 are clear that the leader and cabinet do not have authority to change the authority or even its name without reference back to main council. And I would hope that the leader, and in his absence, one of his delegated representatives, I would hope that the leader honours the constitution of this sovereign body.
Is that a second, please?
Okay, so just the last.
Thank you very much. The government white paper on local government reorganisation and the proposal for devolution are of great importance to members of this council and local people we represent. This administration will engage all members of this council and our partners in considering proposals for the future arrangements for local government and other public services affecting the borough and the wider county. We will also consult on the public, with the public as part of this process. The leader will update councillors regularly on the work undertaken by the council with our local government departments. And any draft proposals will be considered by councils prior to the submission of the final document to government in November. The issue of whether members have a free vote on this issue is one for group leaders to consider. It might be helpful for the leader of the opposition to explain and to nurture his members as to what a free vote means, as this will be more than likely the first time he uses.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In terms of the supplementary question, I thank the Deputy Leader for his full and frank response to the question. It's refreshing that we get good, full and frank responses from the Stone Independents, but less so from the members opposite. Maybe they can take a leaf out of that book. I also really value the suggestion of a public consultation. My own, because I think that the public have not been engaged on this this topic before, and it is a really critical topic given that this council has been in existence for the last 50 years, so we're talking about a once in a generational event. But the question I have is, how does he see that that is achievable when the government has just released a new deadline of wanting to see indicative proposals by the 21st of March of this year?
I've been attending the most recent meeting. However, a proposal needs to be put forward. If we don't put it forward, the government will tell you what to do.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, everyone. Right, okay, reorganisation of local government being imposed on us by this Labour government. This is quite worrying. I say this because the people of this borough have not been consulted. Do the people in Stafford want to be joined up with Stoke-on-Trent? Don't get me wrong, the people in Stoke are lovely, friendly people, but it is seen as one of the most deprived areas in the country. Let's remember we have in our borough a large number of elderly citizens. We all know what this Labour government think and care for our elderly by cutting the winter fuel allowance. If we had teamed up with Stoke-on-Trent, it is probable that Labour government will spend the money in the cities. What will happen to our county town? It is a very worrying thought. I hope moving forward that the leaders group will make the right choices regarding the whole of Staffordshire. And I plead with you, Mr. Clegg, to your little bit in that. I ask the leader of the council to put a press release out so the people of the borough are aware of the future development that could take place. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Just a clarification, there is no question there. What's the statement?
There was a question.
There was a question. Asking the leader.
The leader put out a press
release. The leader put up a press release to the people of the borough. Thank you. Explain the situation.
Any further questions on this? No? That will move on then. Councillor Hunt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've just had cataracts done and everything's back to front. Before I couldn't see the nightmare glasses and now I can't see when I've got them on. So. Anyway, I've set out the whole of the point I'm making on here and I don't intend to expand on it. I have already made these comments, I think the previous councillor and in previous places. I haven't had any answers, which is why I brought it to council. I don't think I had an answer at the last council meeting. Thank you, I reserve the right to the supplementary.
Does Councillor
Hello, Mr. Mayor, thanks to Councillor Beattie for the question, but it appears that my predecessor in the planning and economic development portfolio has misunderstood how the local plan and the MPF process works. I find myself in the strange position of educating an experienced councillor in her own area of expertise, and that does sadden me. Our current position is that we have an adopted local plan, and therefore the door is not currently open to developers to dictate the pace or place of development. The current local plan continues to be used for planning purposes. Yes.
I've just got 2 points to make on that. One is in response to say that our plan is out of date, and what is it going to cost to produce this new plan?
In terms of question, our plan is out of date is the question. Do you want to phrase that as a question?
Is our plan out of date?
Yes, it is. It's not been reviewed in the last few years. So our plan is not out of date. We have a current plan. That current plan continues to be valid, continues to be useful. Now, in terms of the cost, we will come to the cost, I'm sure, later. problems is, most confusingly, in the alternative budget that's coming up later, the party opposite proposes that we dispense with the budget necessary to complete our local plan. I do urge all sensible members opposite to refuse to back this very confusing alternative budget, to vote for no local plan at all, which is the impact of having no evidence without any background, would destabilise our emerging local plan. Our officers and our planning committee would be unable to take reasonable decisions without the evidence behind a new local plan. Before long, our communities would become purely dependent on national policy. We must proceed with a local plan.
Does
we must gather the evidence.
What's
the
cost to produce the local plan?
Good question. We do have an item in the budget for progressing the local plan in the next financial year. We can stick with that if you like. If there is a detailed multi-year budget needed, let's bring that up at a place where the officers can help clarify the situation. For example, scrutiny. That'd be a really good question now. Thank you. I love this game of ping pong. I love this game of ping pong. You blame everything back to scrutiny, and then we take it to scrutiny, and you blame it back to council. And so it's really difficult for any of us to understand exactly where the local plan is. But it is very clear that the local plan is out of date because it hasn't been reviewed in the last 5 years since it was adopted in 2014. So, Mr. Mayor, my question is, there is planned developments around Eccleshill of 1,500 homes. Another set of plans involve 9,500 homes, and there is 200 metres gap between the two sets of developments. So my question is, Mr. Mayor, given that we haven't taken any plan past a Reg 19 stage, given that the Cabinet members had 21 months to get on and do so, is exactly when are we going to get a confirmed plan for the local plan review, and how are we going to stop this speculative development that will come because you do not have a local plan?
Mr. Mayor, Councillor now asks about the timetable for an updated plan. Let's review the timetable so far to understand what would be a reasonable timetable. Let's compare with a nearby and similar authority and how they are doing with their local plan. In this way, we can see whether we're doing reasonably well with our timetable. Stafford's current local plan was finalised in June 2014, almost precisely the same time as Cannock's. Cannock proceeded to revise their plan as early as 2018, starting their consultations. However, my predecessor chose not to take Stafford down this route at that time. Cannock then issued their issues and options consultation in May 2019. My predecessor may recall that she did not do it this time, waiting until the spring of 2020 instead. Cannock had a solid plan with very few risky elements. And they also had a lot of evidence prepared and ready to roll. They opened their preferred options consultation in the spring of 21. Now this goes directly to the timetable question, is it reasonable where we are now? Our preferred options consultation, run by the former administration,
Mr. Mayor, point of order. My question wasn't about whether it was reasonable, my question was about the timetable.
When making point of order, the member needs to identify the actual order that's been put.
Stafford's preferred options consultation was much later, ending in the winter of spring 2022-23, with nearly 2 years gone by, as opposed to Cannock. It is no surprise that we were quite behind Cannock when I took over. Now, how long did Cannock take to move on to their so-called Regulation 19? Well, this was submitted for examination in the autumn of 2024, and Cannock's examination is likely coming this spring. That's about a 3 to 4 year gap between the preferred options and the Reg 19 and the inspection. We are well within that period. And that was a plan that had very low risk, it had really good evidence base, they really had their ducks in a row. There is a reasonable view on the timetable, as I've just outlined. Councillor Beattie started reviewing our plan late, slowed down the process, added risky elements and continued to preside over a slower and slower process as she went. And now, Councillor Pert demands we complete our evidence gathering twice as fast as reasonable, with no funds to do so. This is not reasonable, and Councillor Beattie and Councillor Pert surely know this. That's where we are. Further, under my guidance, Borough Council has continued to progress with a new local plan by updating the evidence base, carefully reviewing feedback from local communities, carefully considering the significant announcements made by both Conservative and Labour governments since December 2022. So that's where we are in the timetable, and we will be progressing with a new local plan in a reasonable timetable.
Thank you. Is it a question
for the Cabinet? Sorry,
Mr. Smith? Is it a question?
It is. I can make it. I shall certainly make it in the interrogative form. Mr. Mayor, the opposition purport not to know whether there's anything in the budget or how much there is for the local plan. But is it not the case, Mr. Mayor, that they have produced a paper here, with which I believe is some sort of alternative budget, and it actually states the sum of money which they consider to be in the local plan, which they want to slash. So why are they asking silly questions like what's in the local plan when they know that already?
Mr. Mayor,
and it's there, staring them in the face.
Doesn't know.
No.
Oh,
thank you.
He wants another 21 months to come up with
the question is, would I be able to outline tonight where new houses are going to be built? I cannot answer that question tonight. It's an unreasonable question for council.
Yeah, yeah.
This will be outlined in the emerging local plan. Until then, we do have a current local plan, it will continue to be used for planning decisions.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Now we move to item 7. No motion is nil. Item 8. Recommendation. Deferred from Cabinet. Council request to consider the recommendation from the County Cabinet meeting held on the 9th of January.
That a recommendation is being presented this evening for the allocation of £265,000 of Section 106 funds to enhance and provide play facilities of Rowley Park. Permission is being sought to spend this sum, design a master plan, and procure the required project works following public consultation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is that seconded?
Seconded, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Right. No comments? Yes?
I just want to say thank you very much to the cameraman for the proposal. I know the residents, this is something the residents of the area have been asked about for a very long time. Meeting with me at the park quite some time ago now, where the question of capital investment in the park was raised. It's been raised to me by residents repeatedly since, and I'm very much looking forward to the contribution which the public make into the consultation and see what they think should be happening in the park.
Thank you. Dylan? No? I'll move on to slow to the vote. All those in favour, please show. And against? That's carried. Thank you. Now we'll move on to item 9, the General Fund Revenue Budget and Capital Programme for 2024 to 2028. Page 461.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did ask if I might crave your indulgence. I have taken some painkillers, but I still have the sciatica, I'm afraid. But if I do suddenly sit down, please don't be surprised. It means the painkillers worn off. Well, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Well, Mr. Mayor, as members will no doubt already have read this lengthy report, I shall cover only the salient points. The report's purpose is to propose to the Council the General Fund Revenue Budget 25-26, the updated capital programme 2024-25 and to 2027-28, and indicative budgets for 2026-27 to 2027-28. The recommendations, Mr. Mayor, are set out in paragraph 2.1 and will be dealt with as I go through the report. Well, the report to begin with sets out the context for the budget, including the following headwinds and risks, and there are a number of them, I warn you. Number one, and we've discussed this just now, the proposed changes by central government to the structure of local government. The costs of this are at present unknown, and so there are no figures for this in the budget. The first wave of new councils will start in April 2027 and the rest in April 2028. This will have a huge impact on our ability to deliver our services and plans during that same time period. Secondly, the uncertainties regarding government policies for local government finance, major one being the reset of business rates. This change is likely to mean that the growth element of business rates, that's the amount which is greater than the baseline which the government has set, will be removed. If we are not compensated for this by other means, then we and others will be under a great deal of pressure. So we really have to watch this space. Thirdly, Mr. Mayor, 25-26 will be the last year for new homes bonus, which will be paid in its current format. After this time, it will be prudent to assume no further payments. Instead, in 25-26, we got 0.2 of a million. Four, the council is still operating with a one-year financial settlement from this government, which makes forward planning very difficult. How do we plan for the medium term when we're only getting money for 1 year? The government says they will give us more years' money in the future. Well, yeah, we'll see. It's not happening yet. Five. The recent change in the government's autumn budget, the employer's national insurance rate. That is going to have several adverse effects, in fact, on this council. Not least that the costs of the council itself will increase, and we're unlikely to obtain 100% compensation from the government for this additional cost. There will also be an impact on our partners, whether they be direct suppliers of services or others, which will impact on us. That will put them under pressure, and they may then look to us to help them out and give them greater help. So at worst, some organisations may be unable to provide services at the same level or increase our costs if they try and increase their charges. And six, there was a real terms cut in the provisional local government settlement for the council, which was itself dependent on our council increasing its council tax by the maximum amount of 2.99%. That was baked into the settlement. All these headwinds, Mr. Mayor, argue strongly for caution and prudence when setting this budget. Now let's have a look at the budget issues and adjustments 2025-26. If we look at inflation to begin with, The budget for 25-26 includes the nationally agreed £1,290 pay award for 2024-25, and we're putting in 3% for 2025-26, 2% for 26-27, and also for 27-28. That's our pay calculation. We don't know the latest one as yet. That's still to come. We still have to bite that bullet. Individual calculations have been completed, and the budgets on the budgets most affected by inflation. And in October 24, which is our date, inflation was 3.2 CPIH, that consumer price index, including housing, and 3.4% retail price index. For contracts and ongoing budgets, the general inflation assumption is 3%. Now, spending changes, these are covered in paragraphs 5.16 to 5.19. And the major changes in the 2025-26 portfolio budgets, and don't forget they recur in future years, are insurance premiums, the national insurance increase, and provision for the new local plan, which is in the budget, and which is obviously known to the opposition. So now then, Mr. Mayor, we turn to the 24-25 forecast outturn. Well, the overall council position reflects a strong performance on investment income over the year due to higher interest rates. You know, we've benefited from that, others haven't, but we have. However, Mr. Mayor, these benefits are windfalls, nothing more, because they cannot be guaranteed in the future. The council is actually forecasting a £1 million surplus over the budgeted for position for investment income, and this results in a favourable overall forecast outturn for 24-25 of £55,000, as can be seen in Table 2. Incidentally, I would say there is a £76,000 figure in the penultimate line on paragraph 5.22, and that is a typo. It should be the £55,000 as in Table 2. Well, on to business rates pooling and retention. There is an assumption that the reset of business rates growth to date will happen in 26-27, as I mentioned before, with no transitionary payments made to the council. It is also assumed the council will remain part of the Staffordshire pooling arrangements for future years until, of course, we're extinguished. But then it's to our advantage to remain part of that pooling system, because we make more money on that than if we did it on our own. The revenue budget summary, 25-26 to 27-28, the portfolio budget position set out in Table 2 on page 10 reflects the forecast outturn position for 24-25, the proposed budget for 25-26, and the indicative budgets for 26-27 and 27-28. The detailed budgets are, of course, included as ever in Appendix 1, which goes on at very great length. Table 2 also shows a transfer to balances in 25-26 of £22,000, and paragraph 5.33 explains why and how a cautious approach has been taken towards any national insurance support and to one-off grant settlements from government. One-off grant settlements, you can't rely on them by their very nature, they're one-off. Details are only to hand for the 25-26 financial year, and therefore limited amendments have been made to assumptions for 26-27 and 27-28. Given the uncertainty in those years, because we haven't heard from the government, it's hard to give anything like an accurate position for the medium term. Well, paragraph 5.28 shows the need of this. This is an aside, really, this paragraph. This is really something which needs to be fitted into the budget, just to get the thing sorted out, the money for it. 5.28 shows the need to increase the budget for the collection and kennelling of stray dogs. due to a big increase in kennelling costs and also a big increase in demand for the service. You may have read about it recently in the press. You know, people bought all these dogs and things, dogs during the pandemic, and now they're beginning to realise they don't want them anymore. So there's now a big demand for kennelling services for stray dogs. And therefore, we're including this as a recommendation. It's one of the recommendations in the budget, that we actually increase the budget for collection and kennelling of stray dogs. Well, Table 3 shows the changes in the 2025-26 budget assumptions. These reflect the challenging landscape of the council, which I've already been through. Paragraph 5.32 deals with these, but it should be noted in that table that a new reserve, the budget support reserve of $750,000, has been created to mitigate potential future changes in funding regimes. So just in case there are problems along that way, we've got that money which has been put into a reserve, a budget support reserve. Again, we're being cautious and prudent. I would also add there's been a rise in business rates income. Reserves and balances, Mr. Mayor. Paragraph 5.34 explains what these comprise and how they help the council and the Section 151 officer in providing reassurance to us as a council on the robustness of the estimates and the adequacy of reserves. And you can see that, in Appendix 6. Earmarked reserves are shown in Appendix 4. And now the policy of this council over many years, cross-party, has been to maintain the level of the general fund balance at a minimum of £1 million. And this will be continued until extinction. Then we move on to the capital programme, 2024-2027-28. Now this is attached as Appendix 2. A significant change in this one is the inclusion of the food waste budget. That's £1.458 million in 2025-26. At present, the budget simply reflects the one-off grant received from the government. Other changes reflect schemes approved during the year. I would say the council has capital resources of £0.702 million in the general fund and £4.341 million of Section 106 resources. Notice, we rely to a large extent on the Section 106 resources for capital expenditure. We don't have that much from the general fund. Now, the council tax base and collection fund, this is the final part of the budget. The tax base is the number of properties in the borough expressed in terms of Band D equivalent. And you see the Appendix 5 below. The tax base is now estimated to be 49,634.15, an increase of 0.7% on 2024-25, which reflects the net income increase in new properties built, offset by the cost of the local council tax reduction scheme. So we come to council tax 2025-26. The proposed increase of 2.99% is within the guidelines for district councils as contained in government policy. Each additional 1% would generate approximately £80,000 per year. The proposed level of Stafford's council tax for 2025-26 is £178.75 for a Band D property, with the overall level of council tax subject to final determination by the council later in February, later this month. For 2024-25, just for comparison purposes, for a Band D property it was £173.56. So it's a rise of £5.19 over the year, the whole year. So how much per week extra is that compared with last year? It is very, very marginally below 10p a week. 10p a week. Now, of course, the final tax for the borough, which we collect, will depend upon the spending decisions made by others. For example, the County Council, the Office of the Police and Crime Commissioner, the Fire Authority, together with some very small parish council precincts as well. But remember, and I keep stressing this, although we collect these taxes, we do not keep them. We get about 10% of what we collect. The vast bulk of it goes to the County Council. So, the final sections on financial planning and horizon scanning, which I have no doubt you've read, but include things like the uncertainties surrounding future funding streams in the government, the effect of the austerity years on council decision making, the minimum general fund uncommitted capital resources, which I mentioned a while ago, the restructuring of local government's effect on recruitment of staff, and the impact on service delivery. And let's not minimise the effect on the recruitment of staff. How many people will want to come and work here when they know that in a couple of years we don't exist?
That's the
label. You know, it's going to make it more difficult, and we've got to remember that it's going to make it more difficult for us to recruit staff. It hasn't been that easy over the past couple of years anyway, where it's just about to get a bit worse. Then, of course, there are macroeconomic issues impacting on the council. And finally, revenue budget issues around the introduction of food waste collection from April 2026. Will we get full compensation, for example, in revenue terms for collecting that food waste? We don't know precisely. We've got the capital, but we ain't got the revenue. So, yes, Mr. Mayor, there's a great deal of uncertainty when peering into the crystal ball. But may I say, thanks to the prudence and competence of our knowledgeable and experienced Section 151 officer, and his equally talented and hard-working teams, the council is well placed to weather the storms that appear to be gathering. And despite the challenging year ahead, we will continue with our ambitious plans for the transformation of the High Street. Work has already started on the derelict former Co-op store and the Guildhall shopping centre. In addition, we've received confirmation from the government that funding for the station gateway scheme will be forthcoming. There is around £1.5 million of extra support being rolled out for local businesses following our successful High Street Boost scheme. Work is getting underway on enhancing the entrance and approach to Stafford Railway Station, which is often, to remind everyone, the first impression visitors get when they arrive at our county town. And we also have plans for revamping Railway Park. Finally, and on behalf of all members, I should like to thank the finance team for the huge amount of time and effort they've put into the creation of this budget, working to such tight deadlines to produce it. We're only seeing the tip of this massive iceberg. But there's been so much work involved in collecting, checking, analysing, presenting the considerable amounts of data, and they've done a superb job. So I think a big thank you to the Deputy Chief Executive Resources, Chris Forrester, the Chief Accountant, Financial Management, Emma Fulliger, and all the finance team who created this budget. Mr. Mayor, I commend this budget to the Council and ask that all the recommendations be approved.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second the recommendation to reserve the right to speak.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, sorry, just to remind the process now, we have had an alternative budget put forward, so the next stage in the process will be for someone to propose that alternative budget as an amendment to refer back to Cabinet.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, on the proposed amendment. My understanding is that an amendment can either be put as a whole or taken in parts. What is before us is a proposal to do both. to first of all take it as a whole, and then, if it isn't, to then take it in parts. Surely that's contrary to the procedure in relation to amendments, that they can either be put as a whole or they can be taken in parts. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, the rule allows for one alternative budget to be put forward. The debate will be about that budget. If people want to choose part of it, the effect is the same. You choose to refer the whole budget back to Cabinet so they can consider. So that's the debate going forward. We'll deal with this as one. If you don't like some, if you like others, you can choose to refer back to Cabinet and not accept the Cabinet budget tonight. That is the debate we need to sort of.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. This is the Conservative alternative budget proposals for a second year. I understand previously it was unheard of. So we have thought about this, and I'll run through it now in detail rather than go line by line. Because I'm sure the Green Party will propose along the lines of the Labour Party anyway. So, in terms of the net cumulative proposals, or very quickly, the members' allowance, the independent panel review comes later, I think, in the agenda. But we would hope that. The administration would agree with merely a 2.5% increase in members' allowance in line with the officers. That would save £11,520. And pertinently, for the cabinet member for planning, the local plan would cost in the region of £478,000 under their proposals. Now, we think this is £500,000 nearly is an atrocious amount to be spent on the local plan, but I'll go out into the detail in a minute. We also feel that under the present environment for shops in the town centre, there should be a car park charge freeze. So no increase this year as proposed by the administration. We would also freeze the brown bin charges, and we would make sure that over the festive period there was free car parking both on Saturdays and Sundays. Just very quickly, this frees up reserves towards which we feel should be put towards a winter fuel support fund of £40,000. Now, just on a point from the cabinet members' submission, I find it personally quite laudable that dog shelters get more money. We all love our dogs, but I also feel that our grannies should get more money towards the winter fuel saving as well. So please think about that. And I know Councillor Pert's got some serious thoughts about that as well. So we're moving to the detail. As I've said before, there's a proposal to remove £19,000 proposed members' allowance increase and instead uplift the existing members' allowance by 2.5%. This will create an £11,520 savings. The next point is, again, money put aside for the local plan. We feel, as I've said before, it should be taken down to 20,000, 5,000 and 5,000 over the period, because as already been said, the local plan's there and it's working apparently, so that makes sense. And that would create a saving of £478,000. In terms of maintaining the car parking charge at 24-25 levels with no increase, this would itself have a knock-on impact in future years, as this amount lost would be repeated, about £69,000 every year. In each of the future of the years of the budget being set, increasing the demand of working balances. The amount of increased income generated in future years, should an increase in fees be approved, would also be reduced, as there would be a lower tax base to allow the potential for future funding to be increased. And that would, as I've said before, mean £669,000 increase in budget requirement to be funded from the working balances. In terms of garden waste, this is slightly complicated by the fact that the garden waste starts in January, goes through till April, so this year we can't really touch it, but next year from January 2026 it could be reduced or frozen. This would result in a reduction in income of 3 months in 25-26 of £14,000, with the following year impact of £42,000. So the £14,000 was for the part year up until April, and this is all because of the when the scheme was proposed. In terms of free parking, for all Saturdays and Sundays for the whole of December, on all car parks, stone included, this would cause a reduction in fees to the council of £60,000. Again, this will be funded from working balances. And finally, to approve a new scheme to make payment to those in most need following the removal of the winter fuel allowance by central Labour government. The creation of a new £40,000 fund to help support those in need following the winter fuel allowance withdrawal to be funded from working balances. The details of the scheme and the parameters would be worked up, but should this be approved, a report presented to Council for approval. Mr. Chairman. I'm Mr. Mayor.
I'm Mr. Mayor.
Both of you. This is the alternative budget proposals for 2025-2026 as proposed by all members of the Conservative group of councillors on Stafford Borough Council. They feel they represent a better value for money for taxpayers, residents and businesses of Stafford Borough. And I would like to echo what's been said. Thanks to Chris and his team for the work they've put in on this budget. It's very comprehensive. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Is that seconded?
Mr. Mayor, I rise to second the alternative budget and would like very briefly to talk about each line item so that members and members of the general public understand the choices that they have. Before I go on, however, I would like to pay tribute to the financial team for their support with support of this alternative budget. I have to say to start off with that I'm slightly disappointed that the alternative budget was not available outside councillors. It is not published online publicly anywhere, so this debate is something that the public are seeing rather cold. And I think we've really missed the opportunity, having done so much work on the alternative budget through the financial team, not to at least lay out in public what the real choices are. And that could be published on the website. It's been available to councillors since Tuesday, and I would recommend, Mr. Mayor, through you, that this is picked up by the Constitutional Review. As with anything new, there is always fine-tuning, and I think this is definitely an area for fine-tuning. Mr. Mayor, we have a council that has spent much of the last 21 years under careful stewardship. So it is in rude financial health, unlike many of the adjoining authorities that we might have spoken of earlier. For years, we were chastised by the party opposite for spending money wisely, for holding council tax in favour of charging consumption through fees and charges. so that those who use services pay for them. So what we have here is a budget that not only hits council tax, it also hits fees and charges, so they get the best of both worlds. In addition, there's a one-off benefit versus the net investment income. There is a positive variance of 1.35 million due to higher interest rates than budgeted. Now that should have been rainy day money, and instead it's just been squandered elsewhere in operational budgets. Instead, we should have been supporting business rates and or businesses through business rates. You can see there's a reduction there. And actually, that's businesses closing down and walking out of the borough. We need to make sure that our businesses stay vibrant and stay in our borough by supporting a freeze in car parking charges. We can ensure that our town centres of Stafford and Stone are attractive places for people to visit. It seems absolutely perverse logic that the government work with the previous Conservative administration here in the borough to bring in £40 million to support the regeneration of the town, and yet as soon as the first bit of regeneration is delivered, then car parking charges go up, and massively at that, which then in turn reduces the number of people coming in to use the facilities we've just regenerated. An hour's parking in Stafford has gone from £1.10 to £1.30, that's an 18% increase, in just 15 months. In Stone, it's gone up by 28.5%. We need to support our businesses, something that this government doesn't seem to understand either, as well as supporting our visitor economy to town centres. So we would hold any impetuous increases in car parking charges. We would also support Christmas free car parking on both Saturdays and Sundays in December, both on and off street, and this notionally would cost a total of £129,000. Garden waste seems another area for punitive increases in charges. We'd like to see more people recycle, and yet we want to tax them into submission. In just 2 years, the brown bin charge, the green waste charge, has gone from £36 to £43.5. 21% increase. We are living in a prolonged cost of living squeeze, not helped by the Borough Council squeezing the last brass razoo out of our residents' pockets. Instead, we budget to take more in council allowances than the officers have been awarded themselves. Equally, the administration promised to come back to council with its plans to support those people most affected by this callous Labour government's removal of the winter fuel allowance for non-means-tested pensioners. Except, not only has the administration not come back to council, they have not done anything to support financially those most affected by this cruel policy, apart from issuing press releases to virtue signal. So we would set aside money to support those people most at risk from this cruel policy. Finally, what we have presided over is a rampant increase in the spend on the local plan. And it's plain to see from everyone looking in, we have seen a massive increase in the local planning machine that cannot commit to a timescale to bring forward a local plan, and that it will protect those things most, and that it will protect those things most sacred to our communities. Instead, the spend on the local plan is proposed to rise from £204,000, a near 60% increase. And over the lifetime of this 3-year budget, it's going to go up by an additional £640,000. And when it ends up at year 3, it's still going to be 40% above the current year's position. This increase, so we are led to believe, is being spent with suppliers and consultancy services. This is money being spent on the same consultants and reports year after year, and despite working on the new local plan in some iteration or other, since the last one came in 2014. Can I just sum up, please? This is just excessive council waste. There is no forward plan money tree, it is instead a money pit. As a result, I'm pleased to second the alternative budget, which represents a saving of £300,000 into reserves rather than a breaking the position. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're now entering times of change through the Inclusion White Paper. It is important that we as a council put our house in order, and anything we hand over is in excellent condition and in good working order. Everything we must do must have in mind the people we represent. It is therefore essential that this budget and the next 2 years' budget are sound and balanced, and not one based on political point scoring and electioneering for the upcoming county council election.
Oh, shit. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Members of ours is saying you're 11,520. I find this disingenuous. Coming from a proposal from seconder that last year accepted an increase in their county council basic allowances from £10,305 to £10,826, an increase of 9.5%. They respectively received £23,000 and £40,000 in allowances.
Mr. Mayor,
paid
point of order. Mr. Mayor, point of
all of this information is in the public domain. Yet they don't want other members of the Borough Council
Mr.
to receive an increase of 3.5%. If you can tell me what point of order it is.
Part 4, clause 15.5F. Point of order, Mr. Mayor. This is Stafford Borough Council. We are not involved in the discussions about Staffordshire County Council, and this is a personal pecuniary issue that has nothing to do with the Council's budget on this matter, and the member should know better.
Yet they don't want other members of the Borough Council to receive an increase of 3.5% to bring the Stafford Borough Council members' allowance into line with the average for the similar councils throughout the country. Local plan, £478,000 were removed from the budget. Again, disingenuous, given that when they were members of the previous administration, they promoted Meesbrook as part of the updated plan, creating several years of delays. This money is now needed to finish the plan. Car park charges free, £69,000, and freezing of bin. A brown bin charge. Now, again, disingenuous, both are now instilled into the SPC budget in a way as a way of raising necessary income. The brown bins were originally free for all residents, but a charge was created by the previous administration. Free festive parking was introduced at a later stage last year by the leader. There is nothing to stop this being repeated this year, providing it is affordable later in the year through underspend and savings made.
Thank you. I'd just like to put some more on the local plan. This alternative budget proposal would mean this council would have to proceed with the previous administration's proposed local plan. This would mean ignoring all feedback from a wide range of stakeholders and not gathering the necessary evidence to validate the proposal at all. This would mean building Meesbrook on grade 2 and 3 agricultural land without the evidence to show how people are getting work or without showing how flood risk could be managed. It would be a plan without the evidence to support a new sewage treatment works in Exxon to protect our rivers. It also means supporting the County Council plans to build a huge new estate directly on the A508 in Nosal, as this is what the previous plans show. It would also mean supporting substantial development in Woods East, as that is what the previous administration's third options were proposed. Whilst I fully support having the local plan and having it completed as quickly as possible, it's reckless to do so without relevant evidence gathering. This budget proposal will be for Chelsea, Woodsey, Nosal and Eccleshall emergency developers, and that's why I absolutely cannot support it.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Cook will have an opportunity to have a right to reply immediately before.
So, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to refer to two of the proposals in the alternative budget paper. I put comments on them all, but I'm going to limit myself to the two so as not to try the patience of members. Those two are the car park charge freeze and the brownfield charge freeze as proposed. And I'd like to quote from the opposition's own alternative budget document, starting in paragraph 4, which states, maintaining the car parking charges at the 24-25 level with no increase. This would have a knock-on impact in future years, as this amount lost would be repeated in future years of the budget being set, increasing the demand working balances. So it's not the 69,000 is on here that you should be thinking about, which is the 69 for the future years. Similarly, paragraph 5, removal of the garden waste increase of 3% proposed from January 26. This will have a knock-on impact in future years if this amount loss will be repeated in the reporting period in which in future years the budget. So, not the amount stated here, which is 56,000, but repeated year on year and impacting on working balance. So, given these points and the key issues outlined in sections 3.4 and 3.5 of the main budget, which I know members will know by heart, and also the horizon scanning in 550 to 553, which highlight difficulties in recruitment, which highlight doubt about government settlement, which highlight inflation pressures, and highlight the business rates reset, does Council really consider these proposals as prudent?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would ask Mr. Mayor that, as has been suggested, that the alternative budget be put on our website. Perhaps we could check the adding up and get it right before it actually goes on. I have to come back to Councillor Winnington about the winter fuel allowance and say that the practical impact of the withdrawal of the winter fuel allowance is that our most vulnerable elderly pensioners in the borough have benefited from our informative campaign, yes, through press releases, information to community centres, charities and leaflets to raise awareness of their entitlement to pension credit. We've targeted and supported the households of those most in need, and as a result, the pension service reports a good uptake for assistance on applications for pension credit, which leads them on to other benefits which many elderly people had no idea of. Many will and have received notification of entitlement to other benefits, such as a cold weather payment. Stafford Borough Council funds the Warmer Home Stafford, an advice service operated by the Fuel Poverty Charity. The Household Support Fund is operated by the County Council and includes some utility support which can help with one-off payments for gas and electricity. In a press release, Councillor Kurt, you asked the Council to do something to publicise and encourage as many people as possible to claim, and that's exactly what we've done. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Pearce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm staggered really at the proposal to take out of the budget the provision for undertaking a review of the local plan. Given what was said earlier about the need to control developers and the urgency in doing so, I'm absolutely flabbergasted that we should then have a proposal that we cut out of the budget the very money that's designed to ensure that we do, in future, have a plan which will exercise some control over developers. So I'm totally confused by what's being said by the other side. But I will draw attention to one thing here in relation to what's being proposed, and that is that we have proposed additional spending of £185,000 on things like freezing car park charges, branding, and so on, compared to £40,000 to be spent on reserves for winter fuel support. I think that shows how deep the feeling is on the other side to talk about spending £40,000 on that and £185,000 on reserve things. And in respect of this proposed £40,000, I just wonder, and I pose this question, you know, how is this going to be spent? I mean, if we divide it by the £300 that was the allowance, it results in about 133 people being able to have the allowance. So how would you choose those people? If in fact you're saying, well, here's £40,000, we'll divide it amongst everybody who's entitled, well, I don't know what the exact number is, but I would guess it's probably in the region of about 4,000 people. So that's about £10 each.
Better than nothing.
Is that what you're saying?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Hodge already brought this to the what I was going to mention. I first picked one of these last week when I got them off the table with the judge. I was surprised to see that the figures had to change because 11,520 added to 478,000, which was not added to 48,950. I'm afraid it's difficult to get the sums right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anybody else on the street?
No?
It's Council Coffey wishes they can also be able to use the
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, if I can go through these points one by one. I'm looking at section one. And if we look at members' allowances to begin with, now, they're done at present, and there's going to be debating this later on, by an independent panel who review the current pay amounts, they benchmark, they look at the wider landscape. There is no logic in just picking or plucking a figure out of the air, which lacks any kind of oversight or review, and just seems to be an arbitrary figure. Oh, this is what we're saving. Oh, we'll cut the allowances by that much. It's arbitrary. Oh. Okay, let's come to, well, the local plan. I think we've had plenty of debate on that. The car park freeze. This would be a significant detriment to the council's budget. And despite the summary table, you can't view this in isolation. It's going to have knock-on impacts in future years, and that's been mentioned. And it would harm, because of the compounding nature of this, it would harm the council's robustness, both now and in the future. It would be financially irresponsible to do this when we're unsure of the budget settlements coming up. And with the central government, and this is an important point, the central government pushing hard for reorganisation at effectively nil cost. So who's going to bear the cost? If it's nil cost to the government, it comes out of us. Now, to start spending recklessly in that way, this is not the time to do that. That's why I keep arguing for caution and prudence. The proposed increase that we're making is in line with inflation, apart from the obvious rounding up at the lower levels, because we don't have machines which will take 5p coins, and it would cost us a fortune to have machines that take 5p coins. It simply would not be economic. We didn't read the economics of the madhouse if we did that. Right. So if we look at the brown bin charge, I mean, again, that's actively looking at the short term rather than looking at the medium and long term. It would mean that the council may have to consider investment in services and functions, and may lead to unintended consequences of reduced services because it compounds. And my understanding is, anyway, we've frozen the brown bin charges this year. So we've already done, we've frozen them. And then they've not impacted yet. We've frozen them for this year, but we're going to put them up in the next charging period. But they're frozen at present. We can't keep freezing them. What's the point of a pricing system if you keep freezing prices all the time? We're not living in Greenland. And frankly, if you keep freezing year after year, then you, when you do come to increase, you have to put it up by quite a lot, which is what we have to do, because you get freezing them. So I'd much rather do it on an incremental basis, so that each step is not as high. Okay, next one. Free festive parking. Well, it's a bit early to talk about that. I'll tell you why. Let's see what happens, how the budget unfolds this year. Let's see how it
Christmas.
We did it last year. We did it last year.
Don't cancel Christmas.
We didn't say Christmas.
And then I'll move on to the winter fuel thing. Now, this is weird. There's no business case produced for this as yet. There's no value for money demonstration as yet. We're unclear what the benefits are going to be. And what do we have? We say, well, we want 40,000 quid. And then we'll tell you what we're going to do. I tell you what, the Section 151 officer would have kittens if he had any officers coming to him and behaving like that.
He signed it off.
give me the money, then. The officer said, give me the money, and then I'll let you know what I'm going to do with it. Well, that's weird.
He signed
just
it off.
Don't operate like that. No, rational people don't operate like that. Economics in a madhouse. So, well, I would say, I'm not going to give anybody money if they haven't given me a business case, if they haven't given me a value for money analysis. They haven't told me precisely what they want to do and why they want 40,000 and not 50,000 or 60,000 or 30,000 or 80,000.
80 is good, yeah.
There you are, you see.
Please.
Well, really, there's nothing to go on. How can we agree to say £40,000 when we could be being sold a pig in a poke? We've got nothing going on. It's all hot air. There's nothing, there's no analysis on it. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I think I might pretty well finish that. I would just say this is a very sloppy, ill thought out alternative budget, which is shortly rejected.
What a load of bunkum. What a load of bunkum. First of all say that we were asked as an administration to liaise with the finance department to make sure that we got a balanced budget. That's what we did, and I'm sure outside of here, if you ask the 151 officer, he'll agree with that. If there are some adding up mistakes, it was either us or them, but there's some minor, possibly minor ones you found, and I'm not sure if that actually makes a lot of difference to anything. In terms of what's been said, I'm surprised, really surprised at what's been said by different people. The deputy leader said, we need to get our finances in order so that when local government reorganisation comes in, we can hand the Stafford Borough Council accounts over and the reserves
to
and anything else they want to possibly Stoke-on-Trent. I'm really shocked by that statement. Really, really shocked.
It is. Let's get to dowry.
Really shocked. And exactly the same point was made by Councillor Cook again. I'm terribly sorry, but I'm going to fight tooth and nail to make sure that the money, the taxpayers' pounds in Stafford Borough stays in Stafford Borough, goes to some authority not to be mentioned in here tonight. Councillor Fordham said the car park and bin charges freeze would impact on future years. Yeah, it would. What's wrong with that? Saving people's taxpayers' pound again for the future. I have no problem putting that forward. And the, one of the real surprises was Councillor Hood, who's been taken in hook, line and sinker by central government, and said it doesn't matter that money's been taken off pensioners, particularly the ones that fall in that gap between credit and just being over the line to get pensioners' credit. Doesn't matter. We'll just keep sending the message out they've got to try and get pension credit. I'm sorry, but I'm surprised at that. In terms of Councillor Pearce, the local plan, if you look on page 41, 341,000 this year, 546,000 next year, 640,000 the year after, and the year after that, 400,000, 479,640 pounds. We propose that final year is reduced. Now, that's £2 million. It's a lot of money to spend on consultants. And we've all seen these consultants work before. There's a lot of cut and pasting going on, and here's your bill at the end of the day. I'm really, really, really saddened by some of the level of what's been said. And again, Councillor Pearce, another tick for you. Doesn't seem to find a big problem with winter fuel. Ralph Cook, Cabinet Member. Car park machines. We can't change the car park machines to the benefit of people of the public because they won't take 5p. Knock it back to by an extra 5p. Make sure it's a rounded figure. We need people to come back into Stafford. We need people to use the town. We need to prove to other shops that are looking into Stafford that there's a footfall. And if you keep putting the price up on car parks, you won't get that. The same with Christmas. We want a steady trade at Christmas. Let's agree now. What's wrong with agreeing now to a Christmas amnesty on car parking? Because people will write it down in the diaries and say, in 6 months' time, wife, son, daughter, mother will go to Stafford. And finally, you again mentioned winter fuel payments. I am surprised that I've got residents who are really upset. It's not just the fact that they're losing money that they feel is theirs, should be theirs, but the fact that a government could do this to them. They are being done to. And it's not good, it's not fair, and we as Conservatives feel that it's not right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you,
Mr.
Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask for a name vote? It's important that the residents
Council
of Borough
actually
name supporting the record.
It's a name vote,
isn't it? Mr. Mayor, we need members to support the call for name vote. It's not an automatic name vote tonight, it'll be an automatic name vote.
We'll happily support the name vote.
If any members support it tonight,
yeah, we'll have a little bit. You refer the budget back to the cabinet.
Is everyone clear what votes are?
Can you just explain that?
So the vote is on the amendment here, which is to refer the budget back to cabinet before we approve it. So it's name votes.
So therefore, if we don't want it to go back to cabinet, we vote against it.
Against this amendment.
Just make sure. And you ran out of my count.
Are you all clear on what you're voting on?
Yes. Yeah, well, the alternative budget, we're waiting for it.
Right.
So, Mr. Mayor, I call each council's name out in alphabetical order. Once you hear your name, you can please clearly state whether you are for, against, or you abstain from voting on the amendment. Councillor Ashton?
For.
Councillor Barron? Presbyte?
For.
Councillor Carter?
Against.
Councillor Cook?
Against.
Councillor Cooper?
For.
Councillor Cross?
For.
Councillor Dobson?
I'm waiting.
Absent, President.
What's that, gentlemen?
Four.
And Councillor P. Edgeworth?
Four.
Councillor Foreman?
Against.
Councillor Hobbs?
Against.
Councillor Hood?
Against.
Councillor F. James? Councillor R. James?
Four.
Councillor Gareth Jones?
Four.
Councillor P. Jones?
Four.
Councillor Kenny?
Against.
Councillor Leeson?
Against.
Councillor Loughran?
Against.
Councillor McEwen?
Against.
Councillor A. McNaughton?
Against.
Councillor D. McNaughton?
Against.
Councillor A. Nixon?
Against.
Councillor L. Nixon?
Four.
Councillor Pardaisy?
Against.
Councillor Pearce?
Against.
Councillor Pert?
Four.
Councillor Powell?
Against.
Councillor J. Reed? Councillor A. Reed?
Against.
Councillor Lutzel?
Against.
Sandyford?
Four.
Councillor Spencer?
Against.
Councillor Thorley?
Against.
Councillor Winnington?
Four.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to talk about the regional budget. And where I'd like to start, please, Mr. Mayor, is the borough's departmental budgets. Because last year, the outturn for the financial budgets, departmental budgets, was £16.5 million. Same budgets this year cost £18 million. It's an increase of £1.5 million in a year. The forthcoming year, this administration is proposing that they increase by another £1.3 million. So they've jumped from 16.5 to 19.4 in just 2 years. That's an increase of £2.9 million or 17.5% in departmental spends, with no increase in output. The council taxpayer here is being used as a mobile cash machine to fund homeless growth in the state itself. Now I'd like just to turn to the performance metrics. The council is not making an appreciable difference in the lives of our residents apart from taking the money from our residents' pockets like a broken fruit machine. Back in 2018, the council was independently assessed to be a financially well-run authority. The last peer review undertaken by the Local Government Association was in November 21, and it retained its financially well-run mantle and a recommendation to undertake following reviews every 4 years. I think this administration, based on the budget and the cost increases they're proposing tonight, need first thing in the morning to be making an urgent call to the LGA to see if they can offer their support and assistance. You will see in terms of the £750,000 budget support reserve, why are we putting money, as my colleague who is the resources chair, why are we putting money into reserve that frankly will be hoovered up by any subsuming future authority? No one knows where those reserves will go or where the central government will hoover them up, but it doesn't seem sensible to be using Stafford taxpayers' money, which may be outside of the borough boundaries. If we now look at the forward capital programme that sets out all the projects, plans and ideas, Actually, the majority of the spend, the £28 million that has been spent this year and next year, they are the projects and the plans and the ideas from the previous administration that are being delivered by the new administration, but they have clearly run out of plans and ideas because their plan in the forthcoming year, in the next budget year, is to spend just £1.6 million, a tenth of what we had planned for investment within the borough. So this is because they're widely overspent on operational budgets. They've not collated the windfalls like the extra interest that came through higher bank rates that would have been generated. And they've also blown a hole in the reserves through this administration's planning black hole of £650,000. Mr. Mayor, this is a budget without vision or character. It does not support our residents and offers little prospect of meeting our residents' aspirations for a great place to live and work, both now, next year, or going forwards.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
The Council's call comes at the end.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted one or two things. Councillor Burke talks about being a well-run authority when they were running it.
Yeah, it was.
I would just remind you of the excoriating report which we received from the external auditor with statutory recommendations, which are almost unheard of. You've really got to be bad to get those. In the latter part of their years in office. It was an appalling report, and we're having to pick up the pieces on that. But don't pretend that you were wonderful and you were doing everything right, because that external auditor absolutely skinned you alive. And we're still going through that. That's number one. £750,000 budget support reserve. That's in case things go wrong. You need something in case things go wrong, or you have a crisis, or you misjudge what the government is going to give you. They give you less than you thought they were going to. So we're keeping that as a cushion, and that is sensible, prudent, and cautious. Capital spending. Well, what about the amount of work we've been doing on regeneration? That's taken up a hell of a lot of offices. That's capital. That's capital regeneration. We've been doing an awful lot of that in town, haven't you noticed? And it's got more to do. We've still got to do the Gateway project as well. So we don't want. We don't want on this side to have huge amounts of capital money left around. We want to spend it in Stamford Borough. And I hope we all agree on that.
There's 42 million of it.
Because we want to make sure that money which we've collected from the people of Stamford Borough goes back as far as possible to the people in Stamford Borough.
42 million of it.
Someone else?
No.
Okay, so we are also interested in spending money, additional money, in the borough. But we don't do it off the cuff, because doing it off the cuff means you don't get value for money, and then you get another external auditor with an excoriating report. But there you are. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I commended this budget before. I commend it again, Mr. Mayor.
All those in favour of the budget, then, please show. All those against? Budget is carried. Yes.
Representative.
Please, in charge of the.
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, this is the fees and charges, as you've touched on it before, but now I've got a grasp of both hands out of you. So I wish to recommend to the Council that the fees and charges for 2025, and specifically the new charges in paragraph 5.10 and the increases above 3.4% in Appendix 1, be approved. Mr. Mayor, the report sets out the proposed fees and charges for 2025, and paragraph 2.2 sets out the items to be included in accordance with the revised financial regulations agreed by Council on the 16th of September 2019, and I remember it well. In addition, the report includes those fees and charges where no increase is proposed from 1st of April 2025 for no change by Council. The proposed fees and charges will have a direct impact on the 25-26 budget and beyond, and decisions should consider the context of the Council's overall financial position together with likely issues which would put pressure on finances. Paragraphs 5.2, 5.3 detail the headwinds and risks facing the Council, and we've already been through that in the budget. We should also consider the budget gap when setting fees and charges. The higher the yield from fees and charges, the smaller the budget gap. Other things being equal, which reduces the need to find savings elsewhere. But this needs to be balanced by the recognition that the elasticity of demand around that percentage price rise could lead to a greater percentage fall in quantity demanded and consequent drop in income. So we've got to be aware of that as well. We mustn't get too cocky, in other words. Other issues with relatively high charges are set out in paragraph 5.4. Now, there's actually been a change in process, Mr. Mayor, for this cycle. In that the fees and charges changes now come into effect from the 1st of April rather than the 1st of January, which brings them into line with the budget setting cycle, which seems to be eminently sensible. Perhaps we should have done it a long time ago, but we're doing it now, and I think that's a sensible idea. For 25-26, inflation, as defined in financial regulations, is measured by the RPI, the Retail Price Index, which in October 2024 stood at 3.4%. However, in general, where officers have delegated powers, delegated authority, charges will rise by about 3%, allowing for rounding. And there will be roundings, for example, to do with car parking. There may be one or two other things as well. Now, some fees are set by reference to external bodies, or are set by legislation, regulations. These are included in the full list of published fees and charges that don't appear in this report, because we don't have any power over them. We have to do it with each other. We also consider market conditions when setting fees and charges. Thus, some charges where the Council has the power to vary them will not rise. The most significant, I suppose, are the taxi license fees, which are subject to a separate review and require consultation. So they're not part of this fees and charges review. That's got to be done separately. Charges for new services are set out in paragraphs 5.10, and proposals for deletion are in paragraph 5.11. Proposed increase above the threshold of 3.4% are shown in Appendix 1. Now, a full copy of the fees and charges will be on the members' portal. It's actually on the members' hopefully to be put on the portal before the council meeting, but it will be published on the website once approved by council. So I ask members to agree the recommendations.
Who
seconds,
please?
I'd like to second those recommendations and reserve the right to speak.
Any other comments? No. Councillor Kennedy, do you want to speak? No. So we vote on it then? All those in favour, please show.
That's carried. So we now move on to item 11, review of members' allowance.
Trying to get my papers, Mr. Mayor.
Oh,
here we are.
Prudent budgeting.
Next one. Probably. I'm going to have to tidy up this thing.
Should be
overnight. I will. Right, Mr. Mayor. Well, this is members' allowance. Now, this report advises members of the recommendations of the independent panel on members' allowances. The recommendation is that the council makes a scheme of allowances for the period from 1st April 2025, having regard to the panel's recommendations set out in the appendix and the proposed revised scheme in Annex 1. This is necessary, Mr. Mayor, because the current scheme of allowances runs out at the end of March 2025, and if we don't sort it out now, we might not get any allowances. Now, the panel's proposed scheme maintains special responsibility allowances at their current levels, and raises the basic allowance by 3.5%. And it also recommends that all allowances continue to be indexed in line with any officer pay awards. The report of the panel is included in the report, which everyone has, and encompasses, amongst other things, the information received by the panel, including interviews with and completed questionnaires from a range of councillors. It also gives reasons for the decision of the panel. And on that note, I would like to make a point. I looked at that. There are 40 councillors on this council. And do you know how many put in a questionnaire? 12. It's not very good, is it? It's like Willie Whitelaw going around stirring up apathy. 12 people. I put mine inside my brother, I can say it.
Oh, you wouldn't.
But, an awful lot of people didn't. Now, it's your money for goodness, money. You put something in. Okay. Lecture over. I ask Council to agree the recommendation of the independent panel.
I'd like to second
the recommendation
to
reserve
the
right to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I'd like to thank the independent panel, remuneration panel, for their work and the assessments that they've done. It's actually one of the more detailed reports I've seen from the independent panel, so I think they really took their brief really well. But now, I think, is not the time to break ranks with all of our officers at such a difficult time in local government. There is change impending, and what is very clear is none of the lower tier councils or upper tier councils will exist in Staffordshire if this government has its way. So now is not the time to break ranks with the officers of the council. They have received an increase of 2.5%, and I would suggest that that is the increase that we should be taking on our basic allowances rather than the additional 3.5%. Thank you, Mr.
Mayor. Seconded. That's reserve the right to speak.
It's an amendment.
Yeah.
We now have debate on the amendment.
Yes,
debate
on the amendment. Anybody want to comment on the amendment?
Vote on the amendment. This is to accept all recommendations apart from the acceptance of the 3.5% increase in the basic allowance.
Name vote.
It's very happy to see that all each council's name has happened, but I've got some more there. Would you hear your name, please clear the stage whether you are for, against, or you abstain from accepting the amendment? Councillor Aston.
For.
Councillor Barron.
Against.
Councillor Beattie.
For.
Councillor Carter.
Against.
Councillor Cook.
Against.
Councillor Cooper.
For.
Councillor Cross.
Absent.
Councillor Aylard.
For.
Councillor Peter Aylard.
For.
Councillor Thorndon.
Against.
Councillor Hobbs.
Against.
Councillor Hood.
Against.
Councillor Thorndon.
Councillor R. James.
For.
Councillor Gareth Jones.
For.
Councillor P. Jones.
For.
Councillor Kenny.
Against.
Councillor Leeson.
Against.
Councillor Loughran.
Against.
Councillor McEwen.
Against.
Councillor Amy Norton.
Against.
Councillor Dean Norton. Councillor A. Nixon.
Yes.
Councillor L. Nixon. Councillor Pardaisy.
Against.
Councillor Pearce.
Again.
Councillor
Pearce. For.
Councillor Powell.
Against.
Thank God you went the right way there. Jack went to his last council meeting.
For the work they've done. I'd like to add my thanks to the independent man for the work they've done.
Thank you. Thanks. All those in favour, please share. Against? Harry? Moving on to item 12. Item 12 on the Street Committee, Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I should sleep well tonight. Mr. Mayor, this is the Procurement Act 2023. Now, this Act is going to come into force on the 24th of February, so not long to go before it's with us. It will replace the current legislation which regulates procurement procedures. The Council's current standing orders are published in its constitution and are based on the current legislation. And this therefore needs to be updated to reflect the new legislation. Now, officers have actually reviewed the current standing orders and amended them so far as is necessary to comply with the new legislation. The main changes are highlighted in the report. The report has already been considered by the Resources Scrutiny Committee, and it is recommended therefore that the new standing orders as set out in the appendix are approved for adoption in the constitution. And that will become that'll come before the task and finish group on the constitution.
Is that seconded?
Seconded as chairman of resources.
All those in favour? Yes. Anybody want to speak on this?
Please no.
Oh, well, I don't want to speak. No, we'll vote.
All those in favour, please share it. That's unanimous. Thank you. Can I thank you all for being very patient this evening? Thank you very much for all this.
Chris, thank you. You're welcome. Really nice.